Afternoons with Brent Bultitude. Call now, 13 12 69. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Good afternoon. Thanks for your company. Nice to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. You heard the telephone number, but don't call me for the moment because I'm going to have a very interesting conversation right now with Dr. Emma Laird. Dr. Emma Laird is from Tinnitus Australia. I spoke about this yesterday, and thank you for people that have sent in emails putting forward their questions for me to put to the good doctor, and we welcome her to the program. Dr. Emma Laird, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me, Brent. I appreciate it.
May I call you Emma?
You absolutely can.
Emma, where do we start? I've just got so many questions here. Your notes tell me that about one in seven people live with constant tinnitus, and a small percentage, about 2%, find it distressing. What age do you find that people first start to experience tinnitus?
Look, the most common reason for people to experience tinnitus is hearing loss. So we do see more tinnitus as people get a little bit older. They've been exposed to noise, to the rigors of life, and their hearing starts to decrease. We often see tinnitus in that age group and getting older, unfortunately.
What are some of the other causes? How bad does the hearing loss need to be for you to start to suffer from tinnitus?
It can be not noticeable. So there's this wonderful thing called hidden hearing loss, where there's damage to our little hearing cells in our ears. They're our little hair cells. And this damage can happen in a number of ways. Probably the most common is noise exposure, so those really loud concerts and gigs that people go to. You might not have any measurable hearing loss if you go get a hearing test, but there's enough micro damage there that can be enough to cause tinnitus. And some people don't even have hearing loss and exposure to loud sounds, and they still get tinnitus too. There's a lot we don't know yet.
When you say there's a lot we don't know yet, it seems as though, apart from hearing loss, in my reading, which has been fairly extensive for what's happened to me in recent times and my hearing, it seems as though we don't know a great deal about tinnitus. So therefore, if that be the case, is it right to say, if we don't know what causes it, we don't have a cure, we don't know how to go down that road to cure tinnitus?
Yes, that is a challenge, absolutely. We've got some really good theories and proposals as to why we experience tinnitus. And we are starting to develop some really great mechanisms for managing it. And hopefully, as more funding is put into research, we can get to that cure. But you're right, because we don't have a thorough understanding of it, we still need to learn so much more. Absolutely.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of quick questions. Here we go.
Go for it.
Is there a test to show you the severity of your tinnitus?
No. We can do tests where you can tell us whether a particular sound matches your tinnitus.
Right.
So we could change the volume of a particular sound. We could change the pitch of the sound. So this is called tinnitus matching. So we could match it to get a bit of an understanding of what your perception is of that sound, but we can't plug you up to something and hear for ourselves what that sound is, because it's generated within our own nerves, within our brain.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yes.
I keep saying to my wife, because I recently suffered from sudden sensorineural deafness. I'm still deaf as opposed to the left ear, but screaming, absolutely screaming tinnitus in my left ear. Why does the tinnitus come and go? Why is it not constant? And I find that to be quite a few people sent me emails saying, I don't have it all the time. Why does it come? Why does it go? Why is it louder some days than others?
Absolutely. And a lot of people will find this. There could be a few different reasons for it. One is the attention that we pay to the tinnitus. So the pathways in our brain that produce the tinnitus are very much interlinked with our subconscious perception and threat detection. So at a subconscious level, sometimes our brain might perceive that sound of tinnitus as some sort of threat. So it's thinking, we need to pay attention to this. So that's why we'll perceive it quite loud at that time. If we've sort of had a reaction where we think, oh yes, that's just an internal sound, I don't need to think about that right now, our perception of it won't be as significant. And this is a process called habituation, which we work with people to head towards as a management strategy for many types of tinnitus. Not all, but many types.
Foods. Do different foods have an effect on tinnitus?
Look, there are reports that some people find things such as caffeine, alcohol, and salt to impact their tinnitus. The actual scientific literature hasn't quite found evidence for that. But because we're still fishing for all the information, if it works for some people, there's no harm in trialing whether stopping a particular food might assist you. But there's not great evidence supporting stopping any particular foods at the moment.
Are there any drugs that they say can assist in your tinnitus? Either prescribed drugs or supplements, for example?
Yeah, so you will find from a little scroll on the internet lots of companies, people saying that they've had success with particular natural substances, so whether that's herbal remedies or things like that. Again, some people do find that it's helpful, but in the scientific literature where they've done very well-controlled trials, there's nothing that's been of great success in those trials.
Right.
But there's lots still going on, and there's an interesting line of study happening at the moment where they're looking at microdosing of psychedelic medications that might be having promise. So there's a lot we don't know still.
What about blood pressure? Does that have anything to do with tinnitus?
It can do, absolutely. So tinnitus often happens because of some sort of trauma to our ear or the nerves in our hearing system. So any change in blood pressure, the oxygen levels, any noise damage, hearing damage, that can all impact whether we hear and whether we experience tinnitus. So living as well as you can with a healthy lifestyle, it does help to eliminate some of these potential contributors.
Would it be the same, Emma, for sugar levels?
Yeah, all of these aspects can have an impact. It's just a really highly sensitive area in our body, very easy to do damage to our ears and our hearing system, unfortunately.
Emma, I have found in my situation and from emails that have been sent to me, one of the first answers that doctors give you when you say why, they say stress. How important is stress? What's the role that stress plays in the in tinnitus?
Yeah, so stress generally won't be the cause of tinnitus, but it is linked to how well we can cope with it and how loud and how intrusive the tinnitus is. So basically, us and our perception of this sound is very much linked in with our anxiety, stress, emotional reaction pathways within our brain. So if we do try to lessen some of that external stress, we are able to, I suppose, reduce that fight and flight reaction to the sound. And so it's not as alerting to the brain because the brain is perceiving it again as a threat. So we really want to neutralise. So neutralise our thoughts towards the tinnitus to help our brain relearn that this sound isn't something that we need to pay attention to. We can see it as something not sinister, basically.
Tell me what somatic tinnitus is.
Yeah, so somatic tinnitus is another different type, and that's usually caused by often problems with the jaw or the neck, and it can sometimes be a little muscle in your middle ear. Basically, that's when tinnitus is caused by other things like a muscle tension or musculoskeletal issues. And there's a few ways that you can move your head and neck and pay attention to the tinnitus when doing it. And a good indication that you may have somatic tinnitus is if when you make a particular head movement, that sound changes.
Right.
So the volume or the quality of the sound. So that's a different treatment pathway where we'd say perhaps a physio might be a better avenue.
What about, I've seen online, massaging the back of your head behind your ear. Is that just an old wives' tale as well?
It depends if it's somatic tinnitus again. Right. Yeah, yep. So, yeah, there's definitely parts of our muscles and ligaments that can actually cause and sustain tinnitus. So that might all be involved with treatment of somatic tinnitus.
Emma, there are articles around at the moment, and one that I referred to yesterday, and it's not the hocus-pocus stuff that comes from forums, but they're saying that in one particular article I referred to yesterday, there was almost 17,000 inquiries, comments now, in reference to people that are suffering from tinnitus since they've had a COVID-19 vaccination.
Yeah.
Have you heard more of this?
Yeah, I've actually received quite a few phone calls and reports from individuals that have had an increase or a commencement of tinnitus following either having COVID or receiving one of the vaccines. There's not a lot of research out there yet to sort of tell us what that impact is, but just from my own professional experience and talking to people, I've definitely noticed that there has seemed to be a link there, absolutely. But yeah, we need to wait a little bit longer and find out just a little bit more, I think.
Tell me about the habituate situation. Some people struggle to habituate. Tell us what habituating is all about. Is it mind over matter, I suppose?
Well, look, it isn't it. Isn't. So I suppose the first disclaimer here is you want to make sure that the cause for your tinnitus is nothing physical that can be fixed within the body. So there are some neurological things, there are some diseases within the ear that tinnitus can be a symptom for. So it is important to see a healthcare professional like an ear, nose and throat specialist and rule out those things first. So
okay.
That's number one.
Right.
If you find there are no obvious physical causes for the tinnitus, or perhaps it might be that you've had noise exposure or a hearing loss, then you can have a look into this process of habituating. Essentially what that is allowing your brain to think, I don't need to listen to this, and it goes into the back of your attention. So just as an example, I have tinnitus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But because I have habituated to the tinnitus, unless I draw my attention to it, I can't actually hear that it's going on. So that's our aim when we're talking about tinnitus management. It won't cure it. You can still bring it to your attention if that's what you elect to do. But it's popped at the back of your awareness where, unless you think about it, it's not there. So there's a few different ways that tinnitus specialists can work with people to help in that habituation.
Is this involving meditation and deep breathing and all those sort of things?
That is one aspect. So there's a little bit of evidence to show that mindfulness can be helpful in managing tinnitus, but that's quite a new area of management. The area that has the most impact on tinnitus management is cognitive behavioural therapy. So it is a psychological therapy which has very good evidence for managing tinnitus.
So is this cognitive behavioural therapy the same as habituating?
It helps in the process to habituate.
Okay.
So it's just a method in which you can get there, basically. Yep.
Can most people learn to habituate or not?
Yeah, well, just sort of thinking about the stats there, if 1 in 7 people have constant tinnitus, but
yes.
only 2% find it distressing,
mm-hmm.
that remaining percentage of people with tinnitus, they have habituated to the tinnitus.
Right. And what about the 2% that find it absolutely distressing?
Yeah, that's the really tricky part. And that's where we sort of come in, and at Tinnitus Australia really hope to support people like this, because essentially it's like a trauma for some people, and it can be really challenging to treat and manage. We can go through a range of different strategies that may or may not work, and this is where we need more support, more research to help this 2% that it's just not habituating for whatever reason it might be.
Emma, do hearing aids help tinnitus?
Look, there are reports that both hearing aids and cochlear implants can improve tinnitus. Often that's because you're providing additional access to sound. So the belief at the moment of what tinnitus is our hearing nerves firing more than what they do when they're meant to be at rest. So we hear that, lots of nerve firing, we hear that as the tinnitus sound. When we give our hearing system something else to listen to, that does often reduce that tinnitus sound, but not for everyone. So it is a matter of trialing whether it works for you.
Why can tinnitus be worse in the morning when you wake up?
Look, it could be a few things. It depends on how quiet your external environment is. Often we're in bed in a quiet bedroom. You may have slept funny. Your neck might be a little bit skew-whiff. You might have clenched your jaw when you've been sleeping. Jaw and teeth issues can very much be linked to tinnitus as well. There's lots of different reasons why it might be worse in the morning. And a lot of people find overnight they'll hear it a lot more as well.
Emma, do deaf people
mm-hmm.
suffer from tinnitus?
Yeah, they can, absolutely. So just to give a little bit of context, there are some people who have no measurable hearing, so we can only test up to a certain volume, but they've got nothing measurable in terms of sound awareness, but they can still report this tinnitus sound, which can be quite distressing because that's the only sound that they're experiencing, which is really challenging.
If people are listening this afternoon, they'd like some more information, how do they go about it? Do they just get in touch with Tinnitus Australia?
Absolutely. Tinnitus Australia has an email address and telephone number online. Please feel free to reach out. We are a small not-for-profit organisation run by SoundFed, and we are there to try support people in finding where to go next and answering questions like these, because it's such a complex issue.
Emma, do any of these apps that you can download online that want to charge you $99 a year and things like that, do any of those work?
Maybe not $99 a year. That's a bit steep. Look, it depends what the app is. There are a few that have good evidence. One's called TinnyBot, and it's like it's basically an AI companion that works through cognitive behavioural strategies with you. There's also a lot of masking noise apps. I wouldn't pay money for it. I would just put on YouTube or Spotify or something, a radio out of tune, and you can listen to white noise or the sounds of the sea, the wind. And if you just put that a couple of notches above audible, that can be enough for your hearing system to pay attention to something else. So that's what we call sound masking. And that can be quite helpful for people to manage in those quiet situations. But yeah, be mindful of the really expensive ones. I'd want to know why.
All right, I've got to go to the news. I've taken up a lot of your time. I thank you so much, because every time I talk about tinnitus, I get lots of emails and lots of people ringing, and so it obviously affects a lot of people. We have an older audience, so it affects a lot of people that listen to us. Thank you for spending some time with me, Dr. Emma Laird. And
if people want
more information, they can get in touch with Tinnitus Australia. I thank you for your time, Emma. Really appreciate it. Maybe we'll talk again soon.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me, Brent. And
pleasure.
Best of luck with it.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Dr. Emma Laird. She's lovely, isn't she?